Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for our Powering Your Property segment. And this week, we're going to focus on sustainability. Now, currently, the building and construction sector is responsible for 39% of all global carbon emissions, with 11% of this accounting for carbon associated with materials and construction processes throughout the whole building life cycle. In recent years, there's been increasing pressure for the built environment sector to adopt more sustainable practices, particularly around reducing carbon emissions. Now, to find out more, we're joined today by Michael Long, and he's Lendlease's head of sustainability for Asia. And he's going to share his insights on how Lendlease is putting sustainability at the core of their business strategy. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rachel.
Wonderful to have you with us. So Michael, tell us, you know, capturing the value of sustainability has always posed a bit of a challenge for the real estate sector. Why is sustainability important to real estate, and what benefits does it really bring?
Certainly the value proposition is key. With Lendlease's background, because we're an integrated real estate company, and not only do we design and develop and construct places, but we actually take a long-term investment holding in those. So inherently, we must have a long-term view on the places we're creating, and therefore resilience really comes key to that. So when we're looking at value creation, we are really creating places that are going to exist, you know, for the next 40, 50, 60, 70 years. So how we design these places in a future climate-changed world, or how people change their behaviours in society, is really fundamental to ensuring that we not only create something that survives, but something that ideally thrives and where people can prosper. So I think that's really the fundamental basis of where a lot of real estate and property organisations are considering when it comes to this bigger picture around sustainability. The other more fundamental piece is really, you know, when you look at how a business operates, it's, you know, if you're looking at the energy and water and waste you consume, and those construction materials you consume, then certainly basic concepts of efficiency really do underpin any good business. And I think sustainability is really starting to accentuate the focus of not only using less, but actually the type of products and materials you're using.
But what kind of challenges does sustainable building have, well, for the construction sector or the property sector overall? Because, you know, while it sounds great, as they say, old roots run deep, and often instituting change isn't always that easy.
look, certainly, and I think the real estate and construction sector is no different. We are seeing significant change in the investment market and the capital markets. So our large institutional investors are really genuinely starting to ask about this. When, you know, 7 to 10 years ago, when we're presenting our corporate annual results, we weren't getting these kind of questions back, whereas now we are starting to get this from the large superannuation pension funds and institutional investors. So one, that's a great reinforcing to have to an organisation to know that that demand is there. But the challenges are that the space is moving so quickly, and so there's a large capacity, and certainly for a lot of organisations, to quickly get their head around, well, where are they and where do they focus? Because sustainability is a very broad spectrum, and it's really about knowing where your most material aspects are, where you can actually have a genuine impact as your organisation. And then it's not only that, but it's actually about building capacity and understanding in an organisation to figure out, well, okay, if that's the challenge, let's say in a real estate and construction company, it's either going to be in the assets you create and how they operate, but it's also going to be in the materials you use. And then you've got to really start building understanding in your organisations, but then figure out, well, what are the core challenges in shifting that dial? And so in some aspects, for the real estate and construction, it's really starting to look at the bigger picture around the materials we use in the buildings we create. Because I think the real estate profession for quite some time now has been on the journey of efficiency through the Green Building Councils all around the world and the World Green Building Council. So I think the maturity of the market in understanding what makes a good green building is there, but I think now we're starting to look at more a whole of life of buildings, and that's where we start really looking deeper into supply chain and material.
Right. So it's not just about when you're building the infrastructure of the buildings, you're also looking at the infrastructure of the overall sector and how that's changing and evolving when it comes to dealing with new types of suppliers, new types of materials that are that you could consider using to be more sustainable as well. So are you seeing a shift across the board as well when it comes to the industry? You mentioned on a macro basis as well, not just in terms of some of the staple suppliers, but how you've had to look beyond that and source for new partnerships within this area.
And partnerships with even industry competitors and the broader industry, you know, because if Lendlease is the only organisation sort of seeking to use low carbon concrete or seeking to use responsible steel, because recently we've signed a global agreement about responsible steel and targeting using that up to 50%, you know, in the next by 2030 and then moving up to 100% of responsible steel. You know, if one player in the market is seeking to use these, the better momentum you can create with other industry players sort of coming along and saying, yeah, all right, we'd consider using this, the quicker you can facilitate the innovation and give suppliers the confidence to invest their R&D in this space so that then you can quickly partner with them to try and pilot these, bring regulators, bring key building authority partners and green building councils along, so they develop an understanding of the materials so that you can ideally fast track these into a commercial space where you can get large commercial uptake of these. And the more you get of that, the more accessible these products and materials are to the broad market, not just the people proposing to create the greenest of green buildings. And ideally, these become more stock standard. So when you're building a house or any building, even if you're not obtaining a green rating, it might be a minimum that your concrete is 30% less carbon intensive than what it would have been 10 years ago. You know, that's where we want to get to.
And just on the back of that, Michael, what are some of the key trends then you think we can see in the year ahead when it comes to sustainability and real estate?
People are going to see, continue to see a lot more mainstream awareness and genuine interest in organisations, cities, and countries taking greater climate action. So it's going to move from hearing about it here and there to actually starting to see that translate into city planning, into the way buildings are designed, and how that starts to translate all the way to a consumer face about the decisions people make in either places they're going to buy or rent or products and materials that they're going to procure from either a retail mall or in their day. Another thing I think is that in people's workplaces, there is going to be a heightened level of interest in, well, what is the quality of air I'm breathing? Is my office a healthy place? So that is my office resilient to future sort of health, you know, global health challenges that we have, such as, you know, with COVID-19. I think there's going to be more creative models at a bigger picture around how organisations can access and invest in more sustainable solutions. So things like, rather than you owning a piece of asset and equipment in your building and investing in it, do you rent or lease that and it's guaranteed to perform at a certain level, which drives efficiency, and at a broader life cycle, it means you're getting best-in-class equipment and you're allowing that equipment to be cycled and continually maintained at a high performance level. I think other things, certainly around new technology, access to data, is really going to rise quickly as people start to see real estate and start to seek more data out of construction, the materials we're using. What's the carbon? Where's the energy we're using in construction? Really getting to those next layers of details that you would have traditionally seen in more manufacturing and aviation type industries when you still really start getting granular in supply chain engagement. And I think buildings and intelligent places is going to be a thing like autonomous buildings, and the role of digital in buildings is going to be quite huge in their design, their construction, but also in their operation.
Well, certainly sounds like a lot to keep our eyes on in the year ahead. Michael, thank you so much for sharing all of those insights with us.
Thanks a lot for having me, Rachel.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Michael Long, Lendlease Head of Sustainability for Asia, right here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.